We're going to start with probably the biggest danger, the biggest issue when it comes to first year of life, training the immune system. This is a big issue in this nation and in most of the world, isn't it? How does the Bible say, I believe, what's the principles in the Bible for how a baby's immune system should be trained up? Well, through their mother's breast milk, first and foremost. Being at home with mum for the first part of life, we talked about that last week. With a male child, the first week, pretty much borderline quarantined with that mum and that family. 2 weeks for a little girl, and then further from that to avoid maybe the congregating of large amounts of people together, etc. Avoiding the sick, that's a biblical concept. Read the book of Leviticus. Read the book of Leviticus and see how often people that are with certain uncleanness with a running issue, so basically some sort of discharge, whether it's nasal or whatever else, are told to keep away from people, told to wash themselves, wash their clothes. Yet we've got this kind of weird slight theory now where people almost like want to be around it, want to be around sick people. Look, maybe your immune system's strong enough, great. But as a baby, it's not, is it? Okay, and if people lived how God wanted them to live and people weren't so selfish about these things and did keep away from people when they're sick and ill and everything else, like we see in the nation of Israel, like the commands to do that, then a lot of the time the immune system will get stronger and stronger. No, not from being in people's face the whole time, from being allowed to get stronger. And then with time, yeah, they're going to have to be exposed more and more and they're going to get healthier and more well. But what's our world's way of training a baby's immune system? What's the world's theory on this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at the UK immunisation schedule for the first year of life. Everyone's ready for this, yeah? This is the first year of a precious little baby's life. At 2 months old, 8 weeks, a 6-in-1 vaccine. The first time. 6-in-1. When I was young, there was big news about a 3-in-1. That was a big deal. Okay, people were, normal people, not Christians, not anti-vaxxers, were going, wait a second, 3-in-1? 3 jabs in a baby's, in fact, I don't even think the MMR initially was for babies. I think they started it maybe on older children, and people were, whoa, wait a second, that's a lot of shots to be putting in a baby at once. Okay, well, no, now it's 6-in-1 at 8 weeks old. 6-in-1. Still at 8 weeks, the rotavirus vaccine, the first dose. The meningitis B vaccine, first dose. 3 months, 12 weeks, 6-in-1 vaccine, second dose, because one dose wasn't enough. That's 6 vaccines. In case you're wondering, is that one shot? No, that's 6. That's 6-in-1, all at once, into this tiny little baby's bloodstream. Your rotavirus vaccine, pneumococcal conjugate vaccine. Right, 4 months, 16 weeks. So we've got 4 weeks in between. 6-in-1 vaccine, third dose. Meningitis B vaccine, second dose. Then at 12 to 13 months, we're going to include it because a lot do it at 12 months, and we're talking about the first year here. The Hib stroke meningitis C vaccine. MMR vaccine, the first dose. Measles, mumps, rubella, that is a PCV booster and a meningitis B booster. Okay, that's 30 vaccinations. 30 vaccinations in the first year of life. This was nothing like it when people of my age were young. And older than me, even less so. 30 vaccinations in a little baby's bloodstream in the first year of their life. And if you include the vitamin K, let's make it 31. Okay, that's 31. Now, some so-called Christians would say, well, thank God for the vaccines, wouldn't they? Praise God, he's worked through these, you know, because it's just these well-meaning doctors. Because what people do is they just associate vaccine with doctor. And look, there are some well-meaning doctors. And I'm sure most of those people in that trade are not trying to hurt people. They're not trying to harm babies. They're not trying to harm children. But who makes the vaccines? It's not the doctors. Does anyone even look into anyone who the people that are pro-vax? And if you're sitting here and you're pro-vax, look, that's up to you. You can choose to do that, okay? And obviously, we don't have some church rule on that. I'm just going to preach what I believe the Bible says, okay? But surely you'd look into who's making this. You're about to inject it into your child. You're about to put a 6-in-1 shot into your child's bloodstream. Well, who makes it? Who's manufactured this? Who are they? What's their motivation? What sort of people are... You would think, wouldn't you? Well, we're going to look at that in a second. Now, because many people would say this, we're going to have a look at just one of these vaccines briefly to see if it's from God. Now, we could just go for the obvious one and go for the MMR, which has murdered baby cell lines used in the manufacture of it, okay? And straight away go, written off, not of God, because God hates murder, especially murder of babies in wombs, okay? Let alone be somehow behind the testing on their parts and everything else. But that's too easy. That's too easy. So instead, we're going to go with the 6-in-1. We're going to go with the 6-in-1, as it's out of those 31 vaccines, 18 of them are the 6-in-1. So this is a majority vaccine. So this is according to Oxford University's website. And they do this stuff on vaccines, and they claim to be very accurate with the ingredients, etc. The 6-in-1 vaccines used in the UK are called Infanrix, Hexa and Vaxilis. Now, apart from the active ingredients, this is the antigens, they contain very small amounts of these added ingredients. Aluminium. Anyone remember if aluminium is good or bad for you? Which strengthens and lengthens the immune response to the vaccine. Basically, it triggers the immunity because you're putting something in that's not meant to be in there. Oh, no, look, you know what they do, don't they? Oh, no, Brother Ian. Because we all have aluminium cookware and aluminium in other parts of in other areas of life. Yeah, but does anyone actually inject their cookware into their bloodstream? No. They usually, it goes via the body's natural defence, which is the stomach and everything else, but no. Aluminium. Lactose and medium 199 contain the amino acids, mineral sorts of vitamins, both used as stabilisers, Infanrix Hexa only. Sodium chloride, that's a salt, Infanrix Hexa only. Sodium phosphate, this is an acidity regulator, Vaxilis only. The vaccine may also contain traces of these products used during the manufacturing process. Formaldehyde. Ooh, formaldehyde. Or glutaraldehyde, organic compounds. It sounds so much better if you say organic. Oh, got an organic certification, haven't they? Used to inactivate, kill the viruses or toxins using the vaccines. Sound like a poison, doesn't it? That it is. Yeast proteins from the yeast used to grow the hepatitis B proteins for the vaccine. A tiny quantity may remain in the vaccine, but there is no evidence that this can cause allergic reactions. Antibiotics, neomycin, streptomycin and polymyxin used to stop bacteria growing and contaminating the vaccine during manufacture. And this is an interesting one. Bovine serum albumin, present in the medium that is used to grow the components of the vaccines, Vaxilis only. Well, sounds very technical, doesn't it? Bovine serum albumin. You need a chemistry degree, don't you, to really know about that? No, it's basically cow's blood. Yeah, cow's blood. Everyone needs a bit of cow's blood injected into them, don't they? Growing the active ingredients for the vaccine. The polio part of the vaccine is grown in a laboratory using animal cell strains. Oh, that's more stuff from animals. I wonder what animals they are. The hepatitis B proteins for the vaccine are grown in yeast cells. This process is called recombinant DNA technology. Anyone fancy trusting the recombinant DNA technology? Now, I could go into a full sermon on this, but I've got a lot to get through in the first year of life. I'm not even going to bother with the recombinant DNA technology or any of the most of the rest of this, because all you have to do is look down at Job 14 and verse 4, which shows there's a problem with pretty much all of that, because it says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Apparently not, Job said. Apparently not. And I believe he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he said that. Now, that rules out, by the way, before, forget the rest of that, the very first of those ingredients, which was the active ingredients, the antigens. This is viruses and bacteria. They're unclean. The Bible says that's unclean. Okay, illnesses, sickness, bacteria, it's all unclean. When you're infected by that stuff, you're meant to be unclean and keep away from people. And let's be honest, in case you're sitting here going, well, this is all a bit like cuckoo, you know, crazy Bible stuff here, you shouldn't need the Bible to look at this list of ingredients and question how on earth that's going to promote health. Should you? Did we need Proverbs 14 to listen to that list and go, yeah, I'm not sure, that must make you healthier. That must help a baby. That must help a tiny little fragile baby to get healthier, shouldn't it? Because they tell us it does. Because multi-billionaire companies in this world with more clout than you can imagine have told us that it's going to make us healthier. That it's going to make our babies healthier. It must be true. But you don't need to be a scientist to just look down that list and go, what on earth? Don't you? You don't need to be a Christian to look at that and go, what on earth? In fact, and this isn't because I'm so great or anything else, I'm just the sort of person that looks at this stuff. I didn't get my 12-year-old any of this stuff long before I got saved. I didn't need the Bible. I didn't need someone preaching it. I just was like, wait a second, what's all this vaccine stuff? Let's have a look into this. And 9 months later, no way was I letting anyone near my child with any of that stuff. Now, look, I'm not trying to knock anyone that has, because the brainwash is strong out there. Okay, it must be so. Is it? Look, praise God that for whatever reason, it was on my heart to look at that and start questioning, looking in. Not everyone did, and I'm not knocking people that haven't. Okay, because most people just go, yeah, well, the doctor says that's right. Who am I to question? Who am I to question Dr. God? He knows words I don't even know. He knows scientific terms I can't even spell. How on earth am I going to question him? Just look at the ingredients. How about that? Do they show you the ingredients? Do they go up to you and go, this is what we're about to inject into your child. Have a look at this. Do they do that? No. But should we as parents be asked for that? Yes. Hi there, Brother Ian Taverner here at Shaw Foundation Baptist Church UK. I'd like to show you today how the Bible says that you could be 100% sure that if you died today, you are going straight to heaven.